for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Saturday evening service of July the 7th of 2001 of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Landry is a speaker for the evening.
Come and teach. Teach us this evening. And just for a moment before he does.
May God bless you. Father, we gather this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
We give thanksgiving, Lord God, for it is you that gives us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Lord, we pray, Lord God, that in all things tonight that you be exalted, Lord God, that you be glorified, Lord God, that the enemy be horrified and the people be edified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. I thank God for the gathering of the saints. We all come in with like minds. We have on our hearts to learn the message of deliverance. And tonight, with the Lord's permission, I'm going to share with you something I've been hearing for the last two or three days. We've touched on it a little bit, but if the Lord would permit, I'd like to spend some time and go over soul ties, something that I think that all of us are somewhat familiar with, and hopefully something I'll say tonight will give an increase in your life, give us some more victory in the area of soul ties. We, the children of God, have been heavily fragmented in our lives since we entered into life and at birth. There have been a number of situations and events that have taken place in our life whereby our soul, in many cases, have been snared, have been fragmented. Whether we have willfully participated or unwillfully participated in a number of things in our lifetime, it still led to our soul being snared by the enemy. Now, when we look in the Webster's Dictionary, it talks about a soul being an entity which is reported as being the immortal, spiritual part of a person. And though it has no physical or material reality, it's credited with the functions of thinking and willing and his determining all favor. Soul ties are formed when two people are spiritually bonded together in a godly relationship or a ungodly relationship. Now, we know as we study God's Word, and I'm not going to be able to go through all of the Scriptures, one of the ways that the Scriptures, several ways that the Scriptures may define the soul as a mind, a will, emotions, appetites, and behavior, and the list just goes on and on to identify the soul. I would like to begin our Scripture text talking about in the Bible, words that are used to describe a soul tie. So I'll begin in 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter, with a very familiar passage of Scripture right after King David had destroyed the Philistine giant. Jonathan fell in love with him. And mind you, Matt, before I speak about the soul ties, you might say in some circles that we consider the soul ties is one of the five giants that we're facing in our country. There are a number of areas of deliverance, but I've been able to, over the years, study deliverance, and as best that I can see, we place everything basically in about five categories, and that's not absolute now. It's just what I've been able to see, and that is unforgiveness, sexual sin, sins of the fathers, the occult, and soul ties. And usually we're going to be dealing with one of those five soft stones that David picked up and the five brothers of the Philistines. Or the five giants who worked with the Philistines, the sons of Raphael. So tonight's giant, we'll be dealing with the soul tie giant. In 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." So it is very clear here, as we look in the Scriptures, the Word of God uses the word knit to speak of a soul tie, which means to draw together closely and firmly to unite. Now, I'm going to go through several scriptures here in a few moments that identify the soul, and we're going to be able to get some deliverance. And then at the conclusion, if the Lord permits, we'll take us all through a soul tie renunciation prayer, and hopefully we'll get some snares that have been on us from all of our lives. Some we may have picked up as recently as going to a charismatic revival and someone laid hands and imparted unto us, and our souls are still snared. I don't know. I just simply know that I was one confused person. And only allowing the Holy Spirit to return the fragments of our soul that have been so fragmented is the only way I know that God wants that can restore us to the point where we can be used mightily of God and have our minds, so that we can give them to him to be used. And also in Samuel, the first chapter, verse 25, let's turn there. Let me give you a setting here. We're dealing with David now going into, he sent his men to meet with Nabal and to discuss with him how he had heard that they were shearing the sheep and they had some needs, and Nabal was in a position where he was could help be a help to the kingdom. And you know what Nabal said to his soldiers. He said, "Who is David?" I mean, just anybody rise up in authority, they just think that they can just take my goods. So we see Nabal, he was really had a problem. So David loaded up his troops, and they were coming down there to clean up house. So you have the idea where we're going here. In 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter, verse 28, Abigail, Nabal's wife, intercedes. She meets David. She says, "I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord. Evil had not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the soul thy God, with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thy enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling." If we can get some extra lights up here, I'd appreciate it. These progressive lens. Here we see Abigail is pacifying David's wrath against her husband Nabal. She uses a word here, and the word of God gives us a word here once again to define a soul tie, bound. Okay? And so, confined by binding, or closely connected. Another word here, used to identify a soul tie in the Scriptures. Now, there are other words in the Scriptures, such as clave, cleave, which means to adhere to cling to be faithful, to stick, to catch by pursuit. These are various terms used in the Scriptures. To follow hard after, which would include ungodly prayers for a mate. What do you mean? Well, there are individuals that have managed to get their hands on some items such as clothing or pictures of a particular, or even from the family of a particular young lady or men that they choose. And you say, "Well, this doesn't happen." Believe me, it happens. And they begin to pray and seek God's face and command God on this particular individual, whether it be a male or female, for a marriage mate. And many times, by the connection with the items they have, the connection with the picture or something like that, they force a relationship when a relationship wasn't desired by God. Then there are others. I was in Houston, Texas several years ago with my daughter, and a young girl at the time, I guess she was probably 13, and we were at a large garden somewhere, and a bunch of young men passed by, and they were saying, "Oh, how are you, a real nice-looking girl and all that. Can we take your picture?" And so she was getting ready to pose, and I forbid her. I said, "Hold up, baby, come here. I knew I was going to have to deal with it after this one. Embarrassment is so hard for a little teenager girl, you know. So I grabbed her and everything. I said, "Well, no, you can't take a picture of my daughter and things like that." And she looked at me. I said, "Daddy's going to explain to you." All right? And so the boys went on about their business, so I began to explain to her, "How would you like 10 years from now when you finish the university and you and your godly husband go about your ministries, and someone has your picture inside their house on the wall?" I said, "You wouldn't like that." "Oh, no, Dad." I said, "How would you like it if these boys, one of them decide to keep your picture, and all they do is self-gratify themselves by looking at your picture and get off every other night?" So after talking to her, she understood I was protecting her. Wouldn't do anything to hurt her. So I had to really comfort her at that time to get her to see the importance of that. Well, before it's over tonight, we may step on a lot more toes than that. That was the easy part of this message. So this is considered mind control. When we pray our will on someone else, particularly if we have some items or something that was given by the family because they would like for you to unite. It's mind control. That's an ungodly soul tie. Let me give you another example in Genesis, the 34th chapter of Genesis. Let's look at the defilement of Jacob's only daughter, Dinah. The scripture says, "And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her, he labored her, and he defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel, and he spoke kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, Get me this damsel to wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come." I tell you what, you should go back and just read this chapter. It's just awesome what God did here and the revelations that come out of this scripture. But the great historian Josephus, in his studies, from the historical perspective, says that she went into one of the festivals that were going on in Shechem. She ended up getting raped here, and the defilement of Dinah produced an ungodly soul tie to the people, actually, and to all of the men of the Hivites. Mind you, people, it doesn't matter who the pursuer is. He said, well, it isn't fair. We are subject to ungodly soul ties with those who defile us, as well as those that we have defiled. So it's so easy for us to come for deliverance, come to learn about deliverance, and we are so quick to want to repent of the things that we have done. But I wonder, have we really allowed the Lord to really dig up the things in our life that have been buried? Be surprised some of the things that we can have soul ties with that we have not even dealt with yet. Hopefully in this brief message that we will be able to allow the Holy Spirit to unearth some of those areas, some of those skeletons that come out of the closet, and then you're going to go home happier and freer with much more liberty. I believe God had a purpose in having all of these nations' men destroyed. All of them were destroyed. All of them were killed, all the men. And it was soul ties that Satan would have used eventually to destroy the nation of Israel. You know, many people prefer ungodly relationships. They just prefer that. I mean, when I was in the world, I had a cousin, his father was a doctor. And, I mean, you know, we wore our long hair, and we blasphemed the Lord, drove around with license plates with Jesus on it. We did all those things, you know. Horrible, horrible. But this boy really was after prostitutes. I mean, it was hung up on it. And but do we know that when we were going after harlotry and prostitution, did we understand the consequences of our sins? Soul ties. Prostitutes that I have worked with have had soul ties with all of their lovers. I have worked with at least two or three, for sure three. I like to say several, but three that I can remember distinctly in my mind right now. Prostitutes. One is my sister reported to me in the last year or two is doing well for the Lord. These spirits just normally when they come in, we were placed in a real strategic location in our church in Beaumont. We were offered 3 acres of land, a home, the sanctuary, big offices and all that, by another non-denominational church that didn't practice deliverance, but they wanted us to have it. And we turned it down and got an old furniture store on Magnolia Street where the Crips and the Bloods were running by killing everybody. And I feel like this is where I belong. Some of you have heard my testimony. The gangs hated me so much. And my son, that they came by our house and shot my house and hit us with 17 shots from a 9mm. My son was hit in the crossfire. And that night I had a horrific headache and didn't know why. I knew after I got, when I drove in around 4:15 to 5 in the morning, and the Crips or whoever they was driving off. And I didn't know what was happening. I walked in the house, blood all over the place. I mean, you know, my goodness, we in a real war, people. And my son just come to the Lord here about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I said, he walked right in my face and asked, well, what about this, Dad? What we need to do about this? We need to pray about this? What I need to bring this? We need to burn this? He didn't hear the word. And we loved him unconditionally. Can you do that or you kick your children out? My children are welcome in my house. They're welcome, every one of them. And I'll tell you, so there are many soul ties with the prostitutes that I've worked with. And I've had the demons tell me, I've got this individual and so-and-so is in there. And another person is in there, and the pimp is in there. And so the consequences of having prostitution or prostituting your life, people, you need to get the soul ties broken. You say, well, I don't remember all the names. Well, that's okay. At least go before the Lord and ask them to bring the fragments of your soul back and loose the fragments of their souls back. An example of a familiar trait, which is an ungodly soul tie, and one that we're all familiar with. Have we heard of the individual that's continually attracted to alcoholics or drunks? You know, a kind of like rescue me type spirit. They want to rescue somebody. Then after you look at this and you examine it through counseling, most of the time you'll find a very common trait. Daddy or mother was an alcoholic. The daughter's attracted to the same. Then that's the case of the wimp, Ahab, who continually looks for a Jezebel female partner who will pamper and scorn him. Now, Jezebel rose, you know, it doesn't matter, male or female. Just look at the Archie Bunker, Archie Jezebel, and either the Ahab wimp spirit just from the sitcom. So Jezebel takes no prisoner. It'd be man, woman, and Jezebel can be a Doberman pitcher if he wanted to be at the time. So the roles can be reversed. Godly soul ties are formed when two people are one with God or closely bonded together by an agape love. Now, in Genesis, the second chapter, verse 21, God talks about that godly bond. Second chapter, verse 21, it says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave, that's the word to describe a soul tie, unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So we see the word cleave here to describe a soul tie, but we see also it speaks about the marriage in the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verse 31. The scripture says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So these are the basically identical words here to describe a soul tie. Now, because souls are joined together as one by God in marriage, when divorced, it tears the soul. I am a product of a divorced family, my mother and father, but I thank God that even after divorce, years later, the families were able to go to the family reunions together. We're able to go, and if my mother's not feeling well, my dad's second children, which I'm the godfather of his children, which that means intercession, all right, they come and check on my mama. And I was raised in my father's home, so I had the ability to have both families, and I've seen God move on both families, watch God start saving them one by one. But not everybody has that. Most families just draw a line, and they stay separated. But my families refused to hate each other. They didn't have to love each other anymore the same way, but they refused to hate each other the same way. So, boy, I thank God for that. So, but when there is a divorce, it does tear. It does tear apart the soul. So I think this is the reason perhaps God hates divorce, because it caused so much untold anguish and pain for both parties. And so my question is, have you broke the soul ties with all of your past relationships? Well, probably you haven't. Okay? Also, have you broke the soul ties with your ex-spouses? Some of you probably have. So many of you are suffering in your current relationships right now because of the garbage you've carried over, both of you, husband and wives, into your current marriages. So why would you continue to keep your old possessions from a terminated relationship? Why would you want to hang on to material you've had from a previous marriage or so, such as old rings and jewelry and pictures or whatever whatnots you're holding on to? Do you not understand that these materials assist evil spirits in producing ungodly soul ties? This is also idolatry, people. You need to, you men and women that have this material, you need to get rid of your old trophies. Well, you need to consider that. My wife and I had to do the same thing. All that, you know, when we were single, all that, we had to, you know, all those pictures stuff, all that's got to go, all those skeletons, all those trophies. I went in my old military books, and I was overseas. I spent 2.5 years over there, and I had to take all that when I thought I was mighty man. Get all that stuff out of there. Oh, I tell you, it's not over yet. We're going to find a few more things here. We're going to step on everybody a little bit, because some of you got a couple of dogs out there. You know, I know what you mean. Yeah. I went to a friend of mine's house, and he's a doctor down there, boy. He's retired now. And he teaches wonderful Bible class every week. And I walked in that first Bible meeting about 5 years ago. Man, it was cats all over the place. I said, my goodness, I'm in trouble here. And so we can develop some strange and unusual ties with even the animals, but we'll talk about that in a minute. There's other words in the Bible that describe the soul tie. In Proverbs, the 18th chapter, is one we're all familiar with. Proverbs 18, 24. Actually, 18:24b. Let me read this for you here. First it says, a man that had friends must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that stick it. So this is, we find another word closer than a friend. Stick it is another word that describes a soul tie. So when you're reading the scriptures, just don't look read over these words here. They mean something. They're speaking of soul ties. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter of Hebrews, verse 17, the scripture says, for you know how that afterward, well, let's see, 13:17, okay. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. So we also get soul ties with our pastors. I'm going to tell you something. Let me just take a moment out here. I have worked with a lot of people. I will not be misleading you or giving you an evangelistic lie by saying hundreds. I've trained a lot of ministers. A lot of ministers. And I stay friendly with all of them. For one thing I cannot understand is how can we learn deliverance and come into the knowledge of deliverance and remain after year after year after year in submission to a doctrine that constantly teaches you that Christians can't have demons. I realize there are some unique situations. There are some situations where we have to, because God has placed us there for a season, or we have an extra ministry on the side or something. I'm not questioning all that. I'm not saying it has to be an absolute. But I'm saying I'm finding too much of that in our area. And some of the people, and I tell you, it's quite a few I've worked with over the years. From little babies coming up, now ministers, got degrees, going on with their ministry, and you know, moving on, everything, trying to get on TV and the whole works. And they know wonderful deliverance, and their pastors tell them to go and do it at their homes, or they have special meetings, but we don't preach that. So I really believe it's because they don't break soul ties. They're afraid. And I tell my congregation, I said, hey, we together here. Break the soul ties with me. Anything that's not right, if it's not of God, it's ungodly, don't just do it. We ought to break those ungodly soul ties. I break ungodly soul ties for the congregation with me. We want godly soul ties. Some people don't have that confidence to do so. In the book of Colossians, the second chapter of Colossians, verse 19, another word to describe a soul tie here, and this is a soul tie here between Christians. It says, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered and knit together, increasing with the increase of God. Go back and do some study there. It's speaking specifically here that there are soul ties here between we, the body of Christ. There's a soul tie with the Christians. Okay? Then in Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, it talks about a soul tie with the Lord. Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, verse 20. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. That's the soul tie. So we ought to have a soul tie with the Lord. And then also in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 17. Now you remember when Joseph were sending his brothers back to retrieve his younger brother who he hadn't seen? Benjamin, I think his name was. And that's in Genesis, the 44th chapter. And when he had placed those idols in their bags on the second journey, how he was going to imprison this young lad, and how the brothers had said, oh, no, we told you. If you do that, it's going to bring down the hairs on our father. It's going to bring him to an early grave, because according to the scriptures in 44th chapter, verse 30 In 31, he says, "It now, therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life." We've seen so many deaths. The wife passed away or the husband passed away, and the soul is so bound up, they need to break those soul. I broke the soul ties of my senior pastor who went to be with the Lord several years ago. I broke them over his wife. And she's still functionable, still teaching, 80 years old, and I mean she know the word. She's been here. I said, "You got to move on." She said, "Yeah, I know." So you may want to take integrity if your pastor says, "Let's get that sister there and say, let's break them soul ties now." Okay? Because one go, the other one go right behind them. That may not be the perfect will of God. My God might want to hang around some more, do some more ministry. So we see the word here describing a soul tie bound up. In other words, his soul was bound up with the last soul. So I tell you that when a child, for instance, is born, he's bonded to his parents with agape love. So this is a bonding of souls. However, this doesn't always take place. Premature babies, for instance, who have to stay in incubators, or adopted children, which I have adopted a child, both of whom must be separated from love for a season, usually need deliverance from spirits of rejection, abandonment, because usually they have missed their original bonding process. Adopted children, in addition, need soul ties cut with their blood parents, especially if those blood parents went to various areas of ungodly practice, such as the witchcraft, such as the occult. And there are prayer, and we should learn and ask God to give us how to pray for those adopted children when we adopt children. It's an amazing, I've been privileged to see a number of children born, particularly my grandchildren, and it astounds me how we go to the hospital and the nurses and the doctors always want to take the children away from the mother. You should have seen me and my son's father-in-law fighting to keep our child with our daughter. I mean, we had one big ruckus up in the hospital the last birth of our child. And they want to separate them. My brother, all of his children were in home, what do they call it? Midwifed. And we have enough people trained in our area to handle midwife situations for all of them. But how many of you know it's got to be a move of the Lord on those young people? We can let them know that we have the abilities and we can work with them, but nevertheless, the medical system has so fragmented our society that more people are more dependent on fact than faith. Now, let's talk about a little bit about ungodly soul ties. Sometimes they're called unholy, counterfeit soul ties, perverse or evil soul ties. They are formed when two people who have controlling with people who have controlling spirits, such as spouses, relatives, friends, leaders, animals. Also, we can receive an ungodly soul tie by making ungodly oaths, ungodly binding agreements with others, such as the Masons and secret organizations. You joined an organization when you became a drug addict or an alcohol. You joined an organization doing those things. So, for sure, by all sexual sins committed outside of marriage, all of them, soul ties, ungodly soul ties. Then there's the occult realm, the witchcraft, fortune telling. The fair comes to town, you think nothing of it. You're 13 years old, you go in there and let them read your poems. You know, to break soul ties there. Evil spirits were allowed access into your life for that ungodly event. Then in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, I'm so happy. I can tell that I'm putting it out there. Everybody's sort of kind of familiar with soul ties, and that's wonderful. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 16, the scripture says, "What? Know you not that he which is joined," another word describing a soul tie, "to an harlot is one body, for two, said he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." So, think about this. Perhaps many believers cannot be totally separated unto the Lord because of their past multiple bed partners. Well, let's look in 1 Kings. In the book of 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, verse 1, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Amorites, Edomites, Zidonites, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And I could go on and on with the reading here. King Solomon lusted many strange women. He had soul ties to each one of them and brought him to a state of confusion. And I have a friend that has worked with us for about 10 years, 12 years. Basically, this guy lost his mind. My friend almost lost his. He was a womanizer. He was one of those guys where you put a drop of alcohol on his tongue, and then they go to the dance. And all he was interested in was the women. He couldn't care less about alcohol. He got so out of his mind, he had a gun on his wrapped around his thigh here. He kept him a little derringer under his sleeve. He kept guns inside his pockets. Probably had two of them inside there. And one day he said he was just stepping out of his car, and somebody said something, and he drew down on him. He said he almost killed his own son. For he had known many strange women, and he was about to lose his mind. His mind was so fragmented. He knew he was a whoremonger. He told me, he said, Jim, when I had just got saved, and I was reading the Bible, it said whoremonger. He said, that's me. He said, I knew God was showing me that's me. And he continued to live a celibate life over 12 to 15 years. I forgot. I don't know exactly. I'll see him tomorrow, perhaps. God gave him a wife. Here at around 64, 65, a couple of years ago. Fine man to work with. Now, even more so now that his wife is working with him in ministry. Adultery, sex outside of a marriage. In Proverbs, the sixth chapter of Proverbs, verse 32. Let's look at that. See what God's word says about that. 6:32. The scripture says, but whomsoever committed adultery with a strange or with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyed his own soul. So here, adultery causes the fragmenting of the soul, people. Multiple relationships fragment the soul. And some of you, including myself, had a lot of times to amount a lot of trophies in our lifetime. Sicknesses can be transferred as a result of this to the innocent wife. This came out of, I was really surprised to find it, out of a local newspaper in August 7, 1996. It says, unfaithful husbands may cause their wives cancer. Now, usually I have a stack of these that I deliver when I teach on soul ties. That's the conclusion of the study that found women are 5 to 11 times more likely to develop cervical cancer if their husbands frequent prostitutes or have many sexual partners. The cancer is directly linked to the human papillomavirus, HPV, a virus that is commonly spread by sexual intercourse. The study conducted in Spain compared the sexual patterns of husbands whose wives have cervical cancer with a control group of husbands whose wives were healthy. The study took into account other lifestyle influences such as smoking, and the study also took genital swabbings to test for the presence in both spouses of the HPV virus. Risk of cervical cancer was increased 11 times for wives of men who had 21 or more other sex partners. The cervical cancer risk was 8 times greater among wives of men who frequented prostitutes. In effect, the husband takes cancer home to his wife. We in ministry and deliverance have learned that a long time ago. Some of the problems that the wives are suffering, the men come home crying all day about what a tremendous burden they had at the job, and the wife is crying for you, hoping that you can make it, knowing the boss is treating you bad, and she's at home baking biscuits, and everything's calm. She's coming down with all the sicknesses. You've bitten off all your pressure. And she's all whooped up in her body, all beat up and everything, with all kinds of sicknesses, because she don't know how to help you. Because tomorrow morning, you're going back to work again, and tomorrow night, you're back on crying. You better start liking your job, enjoying them, and giving God thanksgiving for it. Now, I'm speaking to you as though you were ministering to people, because we know that most of you all are here ministers, so this is how I'm helping people as they come to us for help. Okay, so I'm not assuming that you have this problem. Not at all. In effect, the husband takes cancer home to his wife, says Shaw, co-author of the study on cervical cancer to be published in today's Journal of the National Cancer Institute. So you can get this information. Although the study showed that men brought the virus home to their wives, any woman can put herself at increased risk by having many different sexual partners, says Shaw. The study conducted in Spain compared the sexual patterns of husbands whose wives have cervical cancer with a control group of husbands whose wives were healthy.
Praise the Lord.
43 different types. They've gotten it down to the point that they can identify the really rapid kind. You get some of these studs that go around with it on the end of their penis,
mm-hmm.
and they will give it to multiple partners, and these multiple partners will all have the cancer. Some of these types develop cancer rapidly, and some of them get not quite so rapidly. But as a matter of fact, I heard it on the radio last week, the head of the sexually transmitted disease department of the University of Kansas said 97% of cervical cancer is caused by the human papillomavirus.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sexually transmitted disease. Husbands will pick it up and never get over it. And lots of times they don't get a wart on the end of their penis, but then they give it to their wife, and it's back up in the vagina where it grows better and it just grows real rapidly. We've known for 20 years that teenagers were more prone to get it. And I use, as I say, you know, why do you think they start doing papamikolov smears for cancer when you become sexually active? Because multiple sexual partners cause cancer. But the husband can take it home to a wife who has never had anybody but him.
That's it. Praise the Lord. He'd have, well, I need to learn what he said. Can't have him with me everywhere I go. That's when I was slothful. Now I say, let's search it out myself. Soul ties.
I hope I didn't hurt anybody's feelings by being real specific in language, but that's the way it is.
I got the news article, came out in the newspaper. Anybody can read it. In Romans, the first chapter of Romans, let's look at that. I told you, we're not finished yet. It's going to get a little bit more interesting than what we've had so far. In Romans, the first chapter of Romans, verse 26, the scripture says, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use that into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men leave the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with women, rust with rust, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. People, any abnormal sexual relationships such as lesbianism, homosexuality, beastology, or some pronounce it bestology, produces ungodly soul ties. You say, well, I don't have a problem with that. Well, maybe you're mistaken. I had one of my elders. He was at a meeting, and the minister was teaching in a ministry of deliverance, and he started coming against beastology or bestology, or how you pronounce it. And all of a sudden, he got this unusual erection right there on the platform. Excuse me for having to be very frank with my words like that. I apologize to you if I offend you. I don't mean to. I don't know. I don't have the background Doc has, so I didn't know what other words to use. But anyway, this happened. And my God, he said, what's going on here? And it turned out that the prophylactics that he was using, I have never used any of those, but were animal skins, sheepskins. Hubby, he said, "Well, is that really going to happen? I don't know. He was there. You know, he knows what God delivered him of. I don't have a reason to question that. But what about us? When we were little boys and little girls, and we played in the treehouse, boys with boys, and good God, we don't want to deal with that. I understand. But anyway, we need to break those ungodly soul ties. Ungodly soul ties need to be broken. So if you've had relationships such as these, particularly with animals, it needs to be dealt with. One of the elders in our church, he's not with us right now. He's not with us. He's just helping another ministry in another city. Our people are his disciples. And so God sent him in. We have people driving as far as 70 miles on Sundays for service. And we're not a big church. Okay, it's not that. It's just that there's certain people that God is saying, you're going to learn this. So I don't need to say you better be here. I don't do nothing. I just stand back and watch it happen, you know. And so one of our elders, he came to me and he said, Brother Landry, he became my expert on soul ties, incidentally. And he said, I've had, you know, whatever you want to call it, with animals, sheep and stuff. They come out, a lot of guys on the farms. And I didn't know it was so common that men take on these lambs and stuff out here. But it's all over the scriptures. Well, people were laying with horses. Women were laying with horses and so forth. So men with lambs. All I know is that if you're not going to become familiar with it, then don't expect God to send someone to you that needs help. Because you don't want to be taken by surprise with anybody's condition. You should be able to be calm and relaxed. And when they come, you should be able to say, okay, well, let's pray about that. Not, what? You did it? What? You're not ready for ministry if that's the way you're taken by it. And then in 1 Corinthians, that's the case here. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians about the young man that was going to bed with his father's wife. It was a case of incest. And so you can get soul ties because of sex between family members. Soul ties are formed when a family member or an individual willfully submits to this sexual advances or not. And also, in the cases of rape and sexual abuse, both individuals must repent because both were involved in the sin. God sees the sin. So I have to get the person that was, in the case of Diana, that was raped and pursued by Shechem, and he developed an ungodly soul. If Diana was here today, I would say, Diana, let's repent of the sin. Because God still saw it as sin. Okay? And then there's other scriptures that talk about soul ties with the dead. I tell you what, I teach, I minister, but I am taken by surprise at the times I've been to a wake service, okay? Incidentally, if you don't know what wake is, then you should search it down and find out what it really means, but and where it started at. But at these services, people have the caskets open, all right, and my goodness, it'll always be somebody, the oldest son, the oldest nephew, the youngest son, the youngest daughter, and one of them out of all those people going to kiss that body. And do you know those demons are looking for another host? They're just looking. They're not there. Brother Jim is not there. I'm gone. I'm gone to be with the Lord in the presence of God. And so, and many times we find that, I think the scriptures are clear, that only, you know, he gives us a certain amount of flexibility in dealing with our departed ones in the event of a death, a premature death, or a death in our family immediately, and we can respond and dress them and prepare them for a burial. But when we start displaying the body and everybody want to come by and kiss and hold and touch, I'll tell you. In the book of Psalms, let's look in the book of Psalms, the 7th chapter. I hope we're getting something. Most of you are already familiar with soul ties, but hopefully some things are being shared that is new and unique to you. I had a chihuahua for a number of years. We had animals stay in the home. We don't now. We don't have animals on at all. But anyway, I had the chihuahua, and I remember my chihuahua jumped on my lap, and it told me in so many words, I want to go outside and play. And I said, no. And he jumped back on the ground, and he jumped back up in my lap, and he said, that's what he was saying, I want to go back outside and play. I said, well, go ahead outside. So I opened the door, and he went out there and got ran over. And you should have seen the tears and the cry while I was out in the backyard, my little girl digging that hole for the bear that dog. I wasn't a Christian either. And man, my heart went with that dog. When I buried him, I buried myself. I had a soul tie with my chihuahua. You think his name right now, 12, 15 years later, Brownie. I broke the soul ties, mind you. But Brownie had generations, so we were able to have other puppies from that dog that kept 5 years, 7, 8 years. So maybe you hadn't had that experience. But a lot of us had enough time to bury a whole bunch of animals over the last 30, 40, 50 years. So you may not even thought about breaking soul ties with your dogs and your cats or your horses. Okay? Psalms, the 7th chapter, verse 1 and 2, it says, O Lord my God, indeed do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. Here David compares Saul to a flesh eater. As the lion is the king of the beast, so Saul was the king of the land. And the lion in his fierceness seizes and tears his prey into pieces. So David was in danger of having his soul destroyed by King Saul. And this is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to destroy our souls. And tonight we've given us several examples on how the soul can be fragmented. And I'm without question, there are some things that have been said so far has caused us to think a little bit about, have we really broke all of the soul ties? Have we really broke all the soul ties? In Genesis, do you know, Sister Coffey was talking, Genesis, the 10th chapter, Sister Coffey was speaking a couple of days ago about the hunter of souls. And she was right. I've been able to study it and find this spirit throughout the scriptures also as a hunter of souls. It goes all the way back to Nimrod. In Genesis, the 10th chapter, verse 8, the scripture says, "And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, Calneh, and the land of Shinar." I am convinced that the Nimrod spirit may be one of the ruling spirits, and actually when Sister Coffey was speaking, she spoke of him as a ruling spirit, so I was happy to hear that a couple of days ago. But I'm convinced that the Nimrod spirit may be one of the ruling spirits Satan is using as a hunter of souls. His name means rebel. Nimrod's name points to some violent and open rebellion against God. Nimrod began to be a mighty one in the earth by bold and daring deeds, of course. And his rebellion is associated with the beginning of his kingdom and suggests that his hunting and mighty deeds were related primarily to hunting men. So he was hunting souls. He lorded over them, hunting and destroying all who opposed him in his rule over men. So we look at the term mighty hunter in the Hebrew could refer to a hunter also of animals and of men also to enslave those men. So Nimrod was a hunter both of men and a hunter both of men and animals. And this was done before the Lord, which means openly in the presence of God with all defiance. So this is why God, when he came down to see Babel, took action to counteract the rebellion of Nimrod. We look in the 11th chapter, verse 1, it says, "And the whole earth was with one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from this did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all of the earth." Nimrod established the first ungodly kingdom, the first great universal false religion, opposing God since the flood. Even today, many have soul ties with false religions, false doctrines. We need to break those soul ties that we have acquired with those ungodly beliefs. Have you taken our time to break the soul ties with all of the ministries you have been affiliated with? You may not have had the track history I have, because I have been across all of the main four. That's the Catholic, Methodist, the Baptist, Elijah Muhammad, Apostolic. So I have been raked across the fire there. And so I wonder, have you taken out time to break the soul ties with those evangelists? When I was a baby seeking God, I mean, I was just very vulnerable. And just all the revivals just go up there, and they all, everybody want to pray. They find you out, and they see you all shaking like this. And they lay hands. That old boy might go home, and all he might do is be entertained for self-gratification. You don't know what's going on. But have you ever taken time to do that? Some of us might be so, we just so tossed and true for every wind of doctrine because we've had so many hands laid on us in our walk, and we have never decided it's okay to say, God, can I break all the ungodly soul ties with all those people? And he says, sure. Only the godly remain. People, also the Nimrod spirit is a murder spirit. And this is the true intent of ungodly soul ties in our life, to destroy us. The Apollyon spirit, to destroy us. So where else in Scripture do we find this Nimrod spirit manifest? And Sister Coffey mentioned this in Ezekiel, the 13th chapter. You might want to go and and do a little study on that. That's excellent teaching there, revelation from God. It states about the Nimrod spirit, the hunter of souls, in Ezekiel 13, verse 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing." God says in verse 17, "Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Woe to the women that sow pillars to all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every statue to hunt the souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people? Will you save the souls alive that come unto you?" People, so many people that you and I are going to minister to have went to practitioners of witchcraft. About 8 miles south of our city, it was reported to me that someone went to a home, and in that home they went into a basement area, and inside it there were a multitude of jars, and they said they instantly understood what was taking place there, that this witch doctor was trapping the souls of people and putting it inside, scriptures speak about it, earthen vessels. I'm going to tell you something, that if you don't think there are people that are not doing that, then you are greatly mistaken. There are people taking business cards, clothing and apparel, practitioners of witchcraft, and they are joined and fragmenting the souls of many people, and that includes some believers that are not walking in the understanding and the authority. This is a very common practice in Haiti. In fact, that was a scientific expedition that went down there 15 years ago. They had no desire whatsoever to study the Haitian culture by a religious order, but simply scientific, because they understood that there was some dust over there, something they was blowing on people that put them in a coma for almost 3 days, and they thought this might be good to use for surgery. Some of you have watched the movie, Serpent in the Rainbow. If you happen, you go rent it right at one of the local stores. It's an actual true experience. Serpent in the Rainbow. I have friends that go to Haiti, but you don't have to go to Haiti to understand that this is a true thing that has taken place. Believe me, there are people that do this. So we pray prayers such as ask God to send the angels to go in and smash the earthen vessels, break them up, the jaws. We ask God to send angels in there, and any material that's buried, to unearth it, destroy it, and so forth, to loose the souls that have been snared in the area of the occult or witchcraft. Am I making myself fairly clear on that? Do we understand? There's many materials back there. I suggest Frank Hammer's book on soul ties. People go to practitioners of witchcraft to place a hex on the individual, or sometimes they go to have one removed. Now, you may have never done that, but maybe somebody in your family, okay? And remember, if you had a relative in your family, a grandparent or an uncle or something, that went to these people, it brought a curse in that family line. And most of us are familiar with somebody in the family. We had an uncle, one of my daddy's mother's brothers, who he had his gift was supposed to be able to blow in your mouth and get rid of sinus. I don't know what else he did to get it to work, but it didn't work on me. To God. But I tell you what, our souls have been so heavily fragmented over the years from a number of things. Some of us need to have soul ties broken with our past machoism in the area of sports. I was an athlete myself, and I heard a teaching up at HBC, I guess about 8-9 years ago. I've forgotten, Dennis, I think, taught it. Dennis used to be the pastor up there. I can't think. Dennis was the engineer. Whoever he was the engineer. And they taught on the God of sports, because he used to keep up with every football card, baseball card. He could answer every question. I was sitting there listening to what he was saying, and I thought I should have been drafted in at least the second round in high school. I thought I was just that good. It was all in my mind. And I had played from little Pee Wee League all the way up into high school, the Navy. I coached several teams. And I had a soul tie with baseball, the God of sports spirit. You may not even think about this, okay? But you know, some people take on the characteristics and the walk of their positions on the team. There's a volleyball walk. There's a football walk. And there is, I work for Mobile Oil. Oh, yeah. I wrestled a spirit in a man. The pastor asked me to come by his house. And the man was sitting down there, and he started boasting about where he worked at. I worked the same job. He started boasting. I don't know if he knew who I was. I'm sitting up here listening to this man bragging on his job. And he had a bunch of demons, too. And I ain't never seen him anymore. I see him at work, he'd be ducking and dodging me. Just ducking and dodging. So when I broke the soul ties at HBC in Holland, Indiana, immediately when I came home, I remember this specifically because I just bought a new home. And our neighborhood is pretty laid out. It's not me the place to play baseball where I'm living at now. But in my yard, I found a hardball up in the flower bed. A hardball. Can you imagine? I said, oh, man. I rebuked that. You know, hardballs mean to me were my gods. You know, I could throw a knuckleball, a curveball, I could catch, I could play any position on the team. I mean, I was just, I was a god when it comes to baseball. Until I went up there and realized I had a problem. And I have another friend as a minister. He played 4 years for Alabama, and he hit 13 home runs this last year. Boy, when I met him, I said, boy, look here. And this is before I went up to HBC. And we just talk about baseball and baseball. And you know what? As I look back, I don't remember too many things about anybody else who played. It was all about myself. And that's how you know you got a demon. Because I didn't remember about anybody else. I just knew about me. So I don't know. Some of you might have fishing gods, soul tied with fishing. I don't know. I gave away my barbecue pit. That's right, because I had a soul god with cooking. There's nobody in Boma could I cook me. And I gave away a 19-footer boat with an engine that was worth at least $4,000 or $5,000 to a nice little family, and they were just smiling and happy. I just gave it for about $2,000 or $3,000. So that doesn't mean I don't like to fish. I just hadn't had time in the last 3 or 4 years. But that doesn't mean you have a soul tie with that. But I'm just saying, look at everything. From the chihuahuas, I'm giving you my experiences. Your experiences may not be the same. You may not have to have deliverance in the same area where I had to, because you may have overcome those gods already. And so now you can enter into the pleasure and the recreation of, say, fishing or hunting or things. Okay? That's all I'm saying. But don't take it out of context. God wants to restore our souls. In Psalms 23:3, the scripture says, He restored my soul. Our souls have been so heavily fragmented, people. The Lord has given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us the casting out of evil spirits so that our souls can be restored. Now, what I'm going to do now is lead us into a renunciation prayer. I'm going to ask that you'll stand for a few minutes, and I'm going to let you sit back down. And we're just going to enter into the mind of the Lord and renounce. And so you're going to have to think with me and ask the Holy Spirit to bring to you and remember certain situations in your life where you may have developed soul tie. Most of you have already did a soul tie renunciation prayer, so I'm hoping tonight that the Lord will bring up some things that are buried that you don't even know exist. And perhaps in today's study, in this evening's study, some things have already brought up. Now, let me also remind you of some things that we had in the 60s and the 70s, medallions and upside-down crosses and the Beatle music, and all these things are you develop soul ties with. Pictures, artifacts. My wife and I had 2 little African statues, in the house and stuff like that. And when we got saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, I said, I think we need to do something with those things. She said, yeah, I think you're right. So we took them, we put them on the fireplace, tried to burn them up. They weren't burned, so we didn't know a lot, so we prayed in tongues. And that was a whole lot at that time, and very important so. But it finally started to burn, and when it burned, it screamed out, yeah, that demon just screamed out of there. Well, I don't know. You can get into a culture thing. I'll never forget, I can't think of my brother's name. He comes here to teach all the time, wonderful brother. And he looked out there in the audience one day, and he said something. I forgot what he said. Lord, I can't. Well, anyway, he thought I was from the same neighborhood, and I told him I was a Christian. So we need to break soul ties with our ethnic past and realize that we all made new creatures in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And we have one walk. Amen. And we're not divided. We're not scattered. But we've been unified by the baptism of the Holy Spirit as the body of Christ. So let's break soul ties with anything that you're holding on or any artifacts that have been passed down. Some of you have been giving things. My children give me things They're not so adamant now about bringing me out of, items anymore. But one time my daughter bought me a bunch of little ducks. And so no sooner she left out the door, I went outside, pow, pow, pow. That girl ain't never asked me about them ducks. Sometimes you be, y'all be too scared. Y'all don't want to deal with situations. I saved her and blessed her by doing that.
Amen.
I disallowed that. I broke that curse. She's developed now, and it's no big deal. She never even asked Daddy about no ducks. She was off in the university. Yes, brother.
You know something I believe the Lord revealed to me a little while ago?
Thank you.
We got a lot of stuff being imported in this country.
Praise God.
Jewelry and things we put on and for our kids and shirts. And we don't realize those people pay over those things. They paid us.
That's right.
That's God showed me. I bought a piece of jewelry for my wife. And the Lord showed me that thing is not, you better pray.
That's right.
We don't realize what's in symbols and what's in yin-yang. What people just put this in. Oh,
that's
they
right.
Don't realize it. Karate,
yeah.
I've been there.
Been there, done that too.
Brother, everything we touch in mm-hmm. these things,
with
these Chinese and these dollar stores,
that's right.
Running our windows. Brother, I mean, I'm not saying anything was everywhere, but brother, these people pray over these things.
Absolutely.
And I know that.
And Lord, we just thank you that this brother had the courage to speak and ask for permission to speak in such a hours, just because we do need to. All of us need to think about those things, because many of us have been involved in the martial arts. Many of us have purchasing items in the store, and he's absolutely correct. And we really need to pay closely attention to those things that we are purchasing and those things that we are bringing into our homes, because he's right. In India, I have a friend that will be in from India in about 2 weeks. I have another will be in from St. Croix a week after that, and the list goes on and on. And most of these relationships I've met is a result of the camp here. And my total encouragement and support to those countries overseas is get your ministers over here as often as you can. For sure, every October. But as often as you can, get them over here. And the bishop over at St. Lucia said a few weeks ago that it was the best investment that the church had made to send all those men in from overseas last year. They were here in October. He said it was the best investment he had ever made. Boy, I was very privileged to hear that. So they'll be back. May God bless you.
Carousel, we've had ministers here 3 times.
Awesome. Y'all hear that? Awesome.
Now, Carousel is a little island just off of South America.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful, what God is doing. Now, we need to wake up and do the work that God's called us to do in this nation. The outside of this nation, they're taking on the mantle. Let's get with the program, people. This is real. I believe that was one more final comment before I lead us all in a prayer.
A lot of ear piercings, body piercings,
tattoos. Absolutely. Absolutely. Ear piercing and body tattooing he brought up, and that is absolutely correct. We get a soul tie with the individual who draw that blood. Ear piercing and tattooing, it speaks of mutilation of the flesh. It's a tearing and a rupturing of the flesh, and it draws blood. And we have no right to draw. Let me tell you something. Something as simple, and I do a lot of strenuous work. I'm not a weakling. When it comes to work, very few people want to work with me unless they got the same zeal I have, because they realize when I get started, I'm not going to play games. I'm not going to cheat the company out of this money. Okay, so we're going to get down. We're going to work. And so if I have an injury or hit my finger or something like that, and I draw blood, oh, God, I stand back and I ask the Lord, forgive me, because if I took my time, paid attention to what I've done, I wouldn't have had to tear into this flesh. So we need to don't take God for granted. I just thank God for the use of my hands and my feet, my eyes. And so if I have an injury, I say, Lord, forgive me. If I'm just taking my time, I wrap it up, stop the blood in Jesus' name, go back to work. I don't think about it anymore, but I take out time to reverence him. Tattooing, you get soul ties with not only the person you got the tattoo with. I don't know why I didn't cover that in my research here tonight. Normally I do, but I'll tell you this much. I have worked with individuals who were in prison that had tattoos, and when I began to come against the tattoo spirits on every case I've worked with, particularly those that were in the gangs in the prison, because they were there to help keep themselves alive, I began coming against those spirits and casting out the demons, that they could feel the scratching and the movement of the tattoos on them, and they would be getting, as they were getting free. So you can't tell me that God doesn't deliver from those evil spirits that have come in. So you're absolutely correct. Thank you.
So
one final, excuse me.
Soul ties from French kissing involves piercing the body.
Soul ties from French kissing, which involves piercing the body. Are we familiar with that? That's a unique question. One of you men like to answer that one? Any soul ties from any Chinese herbs? I take a lot of different things, but all natural. That's why I would like to see if there any of the elders like to touch that. If there's an item that you know that intercessory occultic prayers have been prayed over these items, and it is a combination of one or two different herbs that produce an aphrodisiac, is that what it's called, or something that's supposed to increase your stamina because it's loaded down with caffeine or something like that, that's a no-no. That's a no-no. Absolute no-no. But there are a lot of natural things that God has given us. Just because it says it's from Chinese or from Louisiana or from New York, I don't think it's important in most cases. But we still should be very cautious with that material.
Opium is a natural stuff.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good, Doc.
That's a natural. Those are two natural herbs.
Interesting. The as best that I can tell, I don't know if the chiropractors study any type of meditation or I don't know a lot, but I do know that they pop the bones and move the muscles and things like that. I don't know a lot about chiropractic. I can tell you this much, that we as ministers can also command the arms and legs and the muscles and tissues to relax, the arms to grow out, the legs to be adjusted, the back to go in place, the vertebrae to be adjusted. So you need to spend some time learning about the anatomy. You need to learn to stand that the spine sits on disc pads. The vertebrae, there's 300,000 nerves that go from the spine and radiate around. You need to know the spine is broken into three parts. There's a thoracic spine, cervical spine, lumbar spine. I require that all of our ministers are trained in the physical body, so if somebody comes with a condition, we know where it's at. So we, in turn, we grow out the legs, we adjust the bodies in Jesus' name. We ask the Holy Spirit to minister to people so our people don't need to go to chiropractors, because we do the work ourselves in-house in the Lord. Amen.
But our position, the great position,
is permanent. Hallelujah. Acupuncture.
Wow.
It shouldn't be anybody here with that, so we're just sort of kind of adding some things to the list. But perhaps there's somebody here God wants to
that's piercing the body again.
That's right. That's under the heading of piercing.
We need to deal with
a lot of people are going to come to us. You need to ask questions, because these people don't know that you need to. They need to tell you these things. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God's people are destroying
acupuncture, acupressure, reflexology.
Yes.
All are based on the flow of the yin and the yang.
Amen.
The good and the evil force. The same thing that yoga is based on. It comes out of Hinduism. Don't think it doesn't have power. It has power. They do open heart surgery and acupuncture in China. It has power. It has demonic power. The modern medicine doesn't understand how it works, but it is it's based on the movement of the yin and the yang, which is Hinduism. It's straight Hinduism. And when you go to reflexologists and you go to irisologists and you go to acupuncture and acupressure, you're going to the Hindu doctor for a spiritual demonic treatment.
Thank you. An excellent book that we have here that I would suggest, we discussed this at one of the annual deliverance conferences in October. You might, those of you that are workers, might really start planning to be here with us at the end of October this year. They come from all over the country and the world. It's a book, Bob Lawson, a book on the cults. Excellent book to be able to define it. We had a workshop in our city about 4 years ago, and I looked over, and the Holy Spirit, whenever we have workshops, I do like Lynn. I just walk around and laugh and talk and share, and I just watch and pray, because I know the territory. I know who's coming in and out. And I don't hardly pray for anybody. The rest of the people do the work, those that are visiting and so forth, and the workers. And I saw one of our sisters having her feet massaged. And so I didn't just rush over there. I just walked over there, and I sat down right next to her and the minister that was from another city that was not part of our group. They were already out of order. Believe me, when I pray for you, I submit to authority. I don't go in any rooms or anything without talking to. And usually they come get me. I'm not going to volunteer myself for anything. If there's some people that need help, and if the Holy Spirit is moving, he's going to move on one of the workers, and the workers are going to go to leadership, and the leadership is going to come to us. And I said, oh, hey, how you doing? What you doing? Oh, I'm just massaging her feet. I say, is that reflexology? Oh, yeah, they teach me that. I say, well, that's error. And we're not going to have that here. Let me explain to you. I want to sit down here and talk to you for a minute. But after I set her down and I put it in front of me, and I was very careful how to use the words, but I had to make sure it was clear it was error. And then I began to minister to her in love and give her the scriptures and the material and offer her one of my books on and talked about reflexology, okay? And I was able to, she got to a person, I just didn't know. I don't want to lose anybody, okay? But this individual she did it to died within 2 years. Okay, so I'm trying to get you to see how important this is. You're going to have to be trained so you can discern when things are going on at your workshops. Because they're going to be workshops. They're going to be ministries at your home and so forth. I think that was one more. The brother who sings so lovely. Yes.
Let me ask one more question. Please don't beat me up here.
Well, no, we're pretty early. I'm going to be finished with the mass delivery in a few minutes.
I've got a big problem. I go into church. A lot of churches are saying and whatever.
Yes.
And I'm seeing something that really bothers me. There's two things. I don't believe we have anything according to the Bible to celebrate other than communion. This is just me. I believe we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ through communion. I mean, I don't see anything else. And I'm seeing all these symbols. And I'm seeing these pictures of Jesus. I believe Antichrist is going to look just like him when he comes. It bothers me. Why can't we put a building there and say, Lord, here it is. You fill it with what you want to fill it with.
Yeah, I understand.
I went to church a little while ago, and I see this in the back of the room. I see this big picture of the so-called Jesus with this stinking immaculate heart with fire flying out of it. And now I just
want
to weep.
Right.
What is wrong with the church? Why have we got to have something we can touch and feel? Why can't we worship in the spirit and truth? If I'm out of line, forgive me, but it's just on my heart so hard.
Well, I think we all share that. We don't have a problem with that. Just we are all in earnest about that and expecting the great move of God in the last days, and this stuff will be uncovered. But we understand, brother. And thank God for your temperance about it and your patience. And thank God that you're not one of those who go in and say, well, I showed him what God says. I got a friend. But every time he goes away, he never gets invited back anyway. I don't know what's the problem with that. This is a seasoned minister with over 40 years of experience. So something's wrong about that. I don't know. I'd like to be able to go back. Just give a little bit at a time there until they decide they want to catch on to the whole role. Okay. So let's stand. I think we have some good support. Everybody was contributing. It's an early night. It's Saturday Night Live. We need to go through and break some of these ungodly soul ties, jewelry, and everything else. We pray the Lord that the Lord brings it to mind. Will you repeat after me? In Jesus' name, I renounce all ungodly soul ties formed with all ungodly sexual relationships, occupations, sports, the occult, cults, ungodly music, physical and sexual abuse, controlling relatives, friends, teachers, doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists, and counselors, all Christian leaders. Now, if the Holy Spirit is bringing it into mind, you need to name them now quietly and just speak them out to the Lord. Say, I break these soul ties with so-and-so and whoever. If you don't know the name, it's okay. Tell the Lord. In Jesus' name, I renounce all ungodly soul ties with all partners of illicit sex performed inside or outside of marriage. You need to name those too. If the Lord bring them to your remembrance. In Jesus' name, I renounce all ungodly soul ties formed with the occult, occult religions, with all idol worship. You need to name those. I don't mean to throw you off the spool or anything, but you might want to consider your Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, several other organizations also. A lot of pedophiles, homosexuals, and so forth were impregnated in those field trips. You may not be aware of that. One of my karate instructors turned out to be Miss Sue. As I grew up, I didn't know she. I thought he was the most mighty, strongest man in the world. Turned out to be Miss Ann. And they had us up there stretching our legs and feeling all on our thighs and all that. In Jesus' name, I renounce all ungodly soul ties formed with all binding oaths and sworn agreements made with ungodly secret or non-secret organizations, lodges or clubs, sororities or fraternities. You need to name those. I now cut, sever and loose myself from all ungodly soul ties that I've named and those that I've not named, and in days to come, as the Lord bring it to my remembrance, I will sever and loose myself from those ungodly soul ties and declare them destroyed, made null and void by the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to send out your angels to gather together all portions of my fragmented soul to free them from all bondages and restore the fragments to wholeness in their rightful place within me. I hear some discernment. There's some deliverance going on. I now take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and I cut and sever any ungodly soul links between my soul and my spirit. And I ask you to cleanse and sanctify my spirit with the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord, for restoring my soul, cleansing and sanctifying my spirit, according to Psalm 7:2, 23:3, and Hebrews 4:12. I now bind any demons that came in with me with these ungodly soul ties and command them to leave me now. In Jesus' name and by the blood of the Lamb. Won't you be seated for a moment? I'm not going to go through a complete renunciation prayer because I believe maybe with the exception of one individual or so in here, we've been through the renouncing prayers all week. And we have a number of books that handle that material. I would suggest all those who are just starting on their careers in deliverance that you consider Pigs in a Parlor, Frank Hammond's book, and whatever else the camp leader suggests to you that you might read. I'm going to take authority over the strong man in every one of us if you are in agreement with me in Jesus' name. I'm going to bind that strong man everywhere where the enemy has used and fragmented our souls and has tried to destroy us. I'm going to take authority of those spirits and loose us from the holes of those spirits. And all I want you to do is just agree with me. And I want you to say anything with your words. I want you from time to time, taking a deep breath and just blow it out of your belly, out of your stomach. Should be rivers of living water. This is the area where normally the spirits are coming out, because the word spirit, breath, demon, soul, pneuma is all basically the same word. So normally most of the spirits are going to come out through the air passages. And that's why you see a lot of coughing and yurping and spitting up mucus and I don't see any fragrance around here, but I'll assume we got a bunch of cans around the wall, so if you hear something go, psh, we know what happened in front of them. But anyway, so any number of openings inside the physical body where they may escape. I'll never forget when Pastor Worley was in Beaumont in 86, I think, or 87, and he was sitting down and he was ministering to a lady I heard her tell him, I'm a prostitute, I want help. And I said, who this big guy is? You know, he really looked like about 5 or 5. And so he was talking to her, and I was sitting about 5 rows back, and all of a sudden something came out of my ears like somebody took two shoestrings and just pulled it out so quick like that, real fast. I said, wow, I don't know what happened there, you know. But I'm telling you, deliverance is real. And so when I issue the command in Jesus' name, the anointing of God is going to set us free. All we need to do is be in agreement. Amen? Father, I bind Satan and his demons in the heavenlies and on earth, and I loose this deliverance session from Satan and his demons in the heavenlies and on earth. I bind Satan and his demons in the heavenlies and on earth, and I forbid those evil spirits to communicate with or reinforce any spirits inside of each person present. I bind the strong man of each person's house right now. I loose each person from the strong man's house, and I forbid those strong men over each person's house to communicate with or reinforce any evil spirits inside of the houses. I remind the principalities and powers they must go where Jesus tells them to go. I ask the Father to send legions of angels with chains and shackles. Just grab them. Just restrain them and take them to where you receive them, Lord Jesus. I'm speaking specifically to the strong men working in the area of soul ties, but as I speak the word of God, it has no bounds. Whatever God wants to draw out of there, it all goes. All of it goes in Jesus' name. All of it. Now, I come against a spirit right now called ungodly nits. Every ungodly nits, you come out of us in Jesus' name. You go, demon. You go in Jesus' name. You go. All ungodly bounds that we may have been connected to from soul ties. You go, demon. Ungodly bounds. I break your power. Ungodly claims. I break your power in Jesus' name. You come out of the people of God. Ungodly oaths we taken. Military. Boy Scouts. On the jobs. Swearing before the judge. You know you're going to lie. I break those ungodly oaths right now. You come out of there, demons, in Jesus' name. You ungodly vows. You go. I break your power, demon. You come out of us in Jesus' name. You come out of us. Every ungodly agreement, I break those ungodly agreements. I break them, even till we were little children. Yes, I agree. You know you didn't agree. I break those agreements right now. I break all ungodly attachments. I break all ungodly attachments. That's to relationships, to art, to sports, any one of the degree of categories there. I break those ungodly attachments. I break those ungodly attachments in Jesus' name. In fact, I break all those I'll call and those I will call. I break the multiple spirits. I break the multiple of multiple spirits and all the legion spirits attached to our souls. And we're calling on the Lord to send the angels to bring the fragments of our soul and to take the fragments of our soul ties with those living and non-living entities back to them in Jesus' name. I break all of the ungodly soul tie curses right now. I come against the ungodly relationship spirits. Ungodly relationships. Ungodly relationship. All the way back to that first kiss, that first touch. At first defilement of touching somebody in the wrong place, touching them in a place and defile them. I break those curses right now where you were touched. You didn't ask to be touched, but you were touched. I break those curses in Jesus' name. I break those curses from ungodly relationships and all the multiple spirits. You go. You go, demons, in Jesus' name. Ungodly bonds. All ungodly bonds. I break your power in Jesus' name. I break your power in Jesus' name. All of the ungodly joins, ungodly covenants, ungodly control and domination. You come out of us in Jesus' name. I break that tie. I break those soul ties in Jesus' name. Now the spirit, the ungodly spirit of Jezebel. Jezebel, I command you to go. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You be gone now. You go, Jezebel. You go. And all of the soul ties with all Jezebelic television personalities. You go, Archie. You go, Columbo. You go, Steve McGarrett. All of the Columbo, all of the Jezebel television and soap opera characters. You go. You go, Nikki. You go, Vicky. You go, Peter. All of you, come out of there. We wasn't always saved. I know y'all watched that junk. I break those soul ties right now. I break those soul ties in Jesus. All of the sport characters, Roger Maris and Joe Namath. All those ungodly souls, I break those soul ties. I break those soul ties and command those demons to go. You come out of there. All those Jezebel spirits, you come out of there in Jesus' name. You come out of there. I break the soul ties with the dead. All soul ties with the dead. I break your powers, touching the dead, transference of spirits, importation of the spirits also, all of it. The whole works there. I break those soul ties, command those demons to go. You go in Jesus' name. Now all the soul ties, ungodly soul ties with, that are associated with eating disorders, go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. I know people that have their hair tweeded and never liked a hot trip in their life. Now they can't stop eating them. A personal family member of mine had his hair done. Okay, so I'm not making it up. Okay? And you get soul ties with somebody else's hair. I don't know what else we might be putting on us, or we used to put up on us. Most of us wore a lot of stuff. I wore a wig, too. You said, boy, would you? I said, oh, I've been a lot of things. Been there, done that. But back in my culture, back in the years back then, there was a big thing about Afro, so we didn't have the hair, we bought the hair. Break those soul ties. I break those soul ties. And I just happened to have the money and knew where to buy them, so I bought them. So I break those soul ties in Jesus' name. Demons, come out of us in Jesus' name. That's what I tell you. It's enough for all of us to get some help here. All ungodly perversions, those ungodly soul ties, soul ties with perversions come out. Come out of there, all gesturing and mannerisms. I break those curses right now. I break those curses in Jesus' name. You come out of there. I was a professional marketer and a salesman, and so you could have soul tie gestures that deal with your job. You can work around people that walk like this before you know you're walking like this. You can hang around a lot of politicians before you know you're talking like this. I mean, that's what I say. I mean, I know it was just a basic teaching, but I'm hoping that I don't believe in teaching anything unless I believe we can really find something that's going to help us. Because I mean, I got a stack of messages, you know, in here and on paper. So we're trying to get you to start searching down the matters. Getting thirst and hunger after righteousness. It's something that all we can be delivered here. Some of us were sitting down when we first started. Said, oh, yes, those I've dealt with that. Well, we'll see about that. We're just getting started here. Let's go after some more of the demons. Now, the spirits of ungodly soul ties associated with idolatry. Come out of us. Go, demon. Go. That's a strong man. That's a ruler. Go. Come out of there. Go, ruler. Go, you prince. Go. Come out of there, demon. Come out of there. Unwrap around the spine. Come out of there. Come out of those bowels. Come out of there in Jesus' name. So ungodly soul ties from occultism, go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Ungodly soul ties associated with witchcraft, go. All of these ungodly soul ties associated with witchcraft, you go in Jesus' name. Mind control, you go in Jesus' name. Octopus, go. Come out of there, go in Jesus' name. Now all of the familiar spirits, come out of there in Jesus' name. Familiar spirits, come out of there, go, go. Generational soul ties, I break those generational soul ties. I break those generation soul ties. I break those generation soul ties. I break the multiples of generation soul ties. I command you to come out of there in Jesus' name. Now you go in Jesus' name. You go, demons. All evil soul ties, come out. Come on out of there in Jesus' name. Come out of us in Jesus' name. All counterfeit spirits, you come out. Come out of there. Perverse spirits, come out. Come out. Unholy spirits, come out of there in Jesus' name. The unholy Trinity, come out of us in Jesus' name. You go, you go, you go, demons. Now the spirits of confusion. Solomon was confused and lost his mind in the last day, for he had known many women, many strange women. Come out of their confusion. Come out of their insanity. Come out of their insane. Go. Go, demons, go in Jesus' name. The spirits that make us feel seized. That demon that seizes you, come out of there in Jesus' name. The violating spirits, the spirits that come from date rape and rape, those soul ties with those individuals, come out of there in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.